Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody. I love the church, and I see the church in a lot of places in Scripture where maybe others would not. It's my whole life is building the house of God and trying to see God's purpose in building His church come to pass. I would see it as the only thing that Jesus said He would build. So for me to be useful to God, I feel like building the church is important. One of the passages of Scripture that really does work very well for me in the terms of the church is Proverbs 31, which most everybody would consider is to do with the wife of a noble wife of a noble man. But in Proverbs 31:10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies?" This virtuous woman literally translates as woman of force. That sounds like the church to me. A person who has force in this life. And if we think of this woman as the bride of Christ, as the one that has been presented as a chaste virgin to the Lord, then we will find that the worth of this woman, this church, this wife of Jesus, is far above any precious gems in the world. And so Jesus, we find, came to earth to find and purchase a wife, the church. He has paid for us with His life. In the Old Testament, Abraham sent his head servant, Eliezer, out to search for a wife for his son Isaac. The Holy Spirit searches the earth, like Eliezer, to find a bride for Christ, to find churches that will be that for the Lord. Eliezer's prayer was for an unselfish, generous, helpful, and beautiful woman for his master's son, Isaac. Let me say that again. His prayer was for an unselfish, generous, helpful, beautiful woman. And this is what the church should be: unselfish, generous, helpful, and beautiful. In verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain." Heading the list of these qualities of this woman of force is that she is trustworthy. So this means the church is diligent with resources and people. They're not wasting time, they're not wasting money, they're not wasting people or opportunities. They're trustworthy. Jesus wants people He can safely trust with His purposes, so that they are not trying to use Him to accomplish theirs, but He's able to use them to accomplish His purpose. And many times Jesus points to the fact that He expects we will bear fruit, that we will use the gifts He has given us and bring a return on those gifts. In fact, the person who brought no return, He took what he had and gave it to the person who was bringing great returns. This woman of force is a woman who actually brings profit to the household, and her husband trusts her so that he has no lack. Verse 12, "She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." So this means that the church does good and not evil in this world to the stranger, prisoners, the sick, the hurting, and other believers, whom Jesus identifies with all of those. He says, "When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me or brought me healing." And I'm in the body of Christ. I'm other believers. So when we do good to people around us, it is like we're doing that to the Lord. Plus, I believe the church should honor the name of Jesus all day long, that we do His name good and not evil all the days. of her life. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So here is an interesting thing that sheep grow wool on their back, and that wool needs to be shorn. And the church should be full of people. We are called sheep. We are his flock, and he wants to actually shear us. Now, in the church, there have been, unfortunately, times when the pursuit of money out of the congregation has exceeded what is appropriate, what's normal. And we've got to be careful, I think, that we don't actually take the skin. We are called to shear sheep, but certainly not to skin them. And when people are too ruthless in trying to get money, they ruin the flock. This woman, she brings wool and flax. Flax is what linen is made of. And this is the righteousness of saints. In the New Testament, we're told that we're clothed with white linen. So she brings, the church brings both blessing in the world of wool and righteousness in the world of flax, and willingly works with her hands. The church should not be just a place of theories and philosophies and morals and ideals, but actually we are working with our hands in the community to bring help, to bring assistance, to bring blessing in every way we can. I know plenty of churches today that have days of serving the community where they'll go and mow lawns and pick up groceries, wash cars, do all sorts of things for people who are in need of help. And I think that when we do acts of kindness, not just think kindness, but acts of kindness, we help open people's hearts to the Lord. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. I think it's always smart to have outside voices that are obviously in sync with our basic culture in church, but to come from afar and to bring a prophetic word or to bring teaching or to bring another angle on the same subject is very healthy for church life. A church that has just got the one source of teaching in it year after year is in danger of not being holistic, of not being healthy, and just becoming ingrown and focusing inward. And it can get the sense of walls going up. Cults get formed like this. And it is important to have outsiders coming in. All through the New Testament, you found traveling ministries coming to churches where the local pastor would open the door to them and they would bring blessing, they'd bring great teaching, they'd bring a move of God. And so This church should be open, have open doors to ministries that are coming from outside. Understand this, though, they need to come through the pastor. He is the door into the church, and not climb up some other way over the wall of the sheepfold. But if they've got the recognition of the local pastor and the endorsement of the team, then that is a safe environment for us to receive teaching from outside. Verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. I believe the church should rise right now because the darkness, the night, is firmly moving into our world, into our society. And for many individuals, they're living in dark times. Especially over these COVID times, people are fully aware that in isolation, loneliness has increased. People's lives have become darker in some ways simply because of the loneliness, and suicides have increased. And this is very real situations that are causing a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety, a lot of distress and torment. And the church must rise in the darkness and shine like a light, and let it be known that we have answers, that an encounter with Jesus Christ, with the light of the world, will brighten your thinking, brighten your emotions, and lift your spirit out of that torment that darkness wants to take you into. She provides food for her household. The church must have spiritual food for the people of God. The highest job of every pastor every week is that he brings food for the people of God and feeds their spirit, not just challenges them, not just urges them, and not just tries to take them into the next program, but actually feeds the spirit of his people or her people, and then they are able to go forward on that strength. And a portion for her maidservants. It is important to invest in all the team, in those who are serving in the house of God, the volunteers, those who are serving at every level, those who are the paid team members and those who are the unpaid. But a focus needs to be on the strong. Sometimes pastors can get swayed away from the strong to be looking after people who are in trouble, people who are in difficulty, people who are struggling, who are weak. But the answer is not that. The answer is to focus most of our energy as a leader, 80% on the strong, so that they can go and be equipped to minister to those who are struggling. And then the whole work of the ministry is carried out by the church, by the body of Christ. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. The church needs to constantly be looking at new fields to launch out into, to bring the gospel, to reach out to a new class of people in our society, to reach out to a new age group, to reach out to a new ethnic group, to reach out to another nation. We need to be looking out beyond our own church, considering a field, and then paying the price to own that, to say, we're going to own this particular area. Somebody said to me recently that there are over 2 billion people on Facebook, which makes it the largest country on earth. And who's sending missionaries into their country? Well, that's a great thought. And that's another field. And whatever price it's going to cost us, as we follow the guidance of God, we need to pay that price to go and possess that field and reach the people in that. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. It's important that we have a permanent place where people can drink the wine of the Holy Spirit. In our church, we have an altar call every week these days, especially on a Sunday night. Mostly on a Sunday night, and we find our people are so hungry and thirsty for God. They will come, and even though we might dismiss the service and then say we're going to have a time of just waiting on God, only five or so people leave out of hundreds that are there, and people will come to the front and linger and soak in the presence of God. And I call that baptism or soaking. And it's so important for our people to have a place, a vineyard that's planted in the house of God. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. The church should be strong. And believers should be strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means we're healthy, not sick, fit, not unfit, strong, not weak. And he doesn't want us, the Lord doesn't want us overweight and lazy, slow moving, you know, unhealthy. And then it says she strengthens her arms. It's so important that our arms, the arms of the church, reaching out, carrying others, praying for people and worship, all these areas should be strong, especially carrying the young. In Isaiah, it says that he will gather the lambs with his arms. And that's the work of Jesus. And we are those arms. And for a period of time, lambs need to be carried. Some people have said, well, when people come to Christ, if they're for real, they'll be able to stand up on their own. Well, that's just not true. We've got to be able to carry the young until they grow, form legs themselves to be able to walk, stand, and fight for their position in Christ. We must have ways, pathways that people can onboard and take their next step. Verse 18, She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So the church needs to be discerning as to what she's bringing to people is good. It's good and not evil. And I think there's a difference between good and great. When God created everything, he said, that's good. That feels like an understatement. You would think he'd at least say it was great. But maybe goodness, the intrinsic goodness of things, is more important than being a great person or being great. And I certainly think that if you are good, you will be known as great, but not all great people have been known to be good. The church's light must burn through every dark season. Her lamp does not go out by night. Just because it's dark in the world doesn't mean our light needs to be dim. We can still shine bright in every dark season in individuals' lives and in the life of a city and in the life of a nation. All of us should bring encouragement and life to individuals, to families, to groups. When we walk in the room, it should be like the sunshine came on. The people open the blinds and they can feel warmth, they can feel brightness, they can feel light. And that is what the church should be, not severe and judging and merciless and arguing, full of strife. We are meant to be the light bringers, the life bringers, just like the sunlight. Verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. The New Living Translation says her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. So this is the church connecting people with threads of common interests like cyclist group, golfing groups, bowling groups, fishing groups, book reading groups. So we connect people with common purpose, affinities. We create connect groups. And fibers twisted together are like a threefold cord where deep friendships form in the house of God. Church shouldn't be just a place we attend and we don't know anybody and we're none the better for being there. We don't belong in there. People want to belong. And so we must provide ways, groups that have an affinity with every individual of some kind and to create groups if we don't have that. Business people getting together, fathers getting together, praying for their kids, mums getting together, young mums, old women, all kinds, teachers, business people. There's all kinds of affinities that helps people become friends with one another. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. We can't only be looking after ourselves, people. The church must extend beyond ourselves to the poor and reach out our hands to the needy. Verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. I mean, there are cold times of rejection and unfruitful seasons for everybody. But they should not be negatively impacting the people of God in the house, in the church. They should not bring anxiety or fear to a church that is well prepared, well clothed, clothed with faith, clothed with the Holy Spirit, clothed with the love of God, and clothed with the new nature of Jesus. And I believe that if we are clothed in the house of God, that fellowship will help us be strong for the future. Verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So the coverings we give our people within our own ranks, they're in our church. We cover them. We provide covering. And it should be beautiful. It should not be an onerous thing when people are being overseen and they should feel a gentle sense of accountability and motivation and protection so that we have actually got ourselves in a place where we are before the Lord and knowing that we are covered and blessed. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Well, the church's husband is Jesus, and we would like him to be known. The church makes Jesus known in the most important places in the town, in the doorways, in the gates, in the places where people travel into a new experience, where they travel out of places where, and the gates were the place of authority. So this is making Jesus known in the places of decision making, in the places of authority, in the places of business and commerce, and in another sphere, as I close here on this, in another sphere, there are the gates of hell is where Jesus needs to be known as well, so that we are presenting Jesus in all those places in the earth, which where hell spews into earth, there are many gates. There's only one gate of heaven, and that's the church. And we are involved in building that gate. But we are to make Jesus known in the gates of hell and prevent hell from coming into all these areas of people's lives that bring destruction. You and I and the church, we're called by God to bring salvation to the earth, to be the salt and the light of this world. God bless you. We'll keep going on this building the local church out of Proverbs 31 again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.